Yeah.
All right. Well, lastly, we are on tradition 12. Let me go. Wendy H. is going to be doing this one for us.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to share. So happy to be here with you guys. Okay. So what I've heard is, you know, sharing the stats. So my sobriety date is September 19th, 1984. My sponsor is Mary P. And my home group is the Tuesday Serenity Circle in Ahwahnee. The 12th tradition, tradition 12 says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And in the long form of the tradition, says the spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. Because AA's 12 traditions repeatedly ask us to give up personal desires for the common good, we realize that the sacrificial spirit, well symbolized by anonymity, is the foundation of them all. It is AA's proved willingness to make these sacrifices that gives people their high confidence in our future. But in the beginning, anonymity was not born of confidence. It was the child of our early fears. Our first nameless groups of alcoholics were secret societies. New prospects could find us only through a few trusted friends. The bare hint of publicity, even for our work, shocked us. Though ex-drinkers, we still thought we had to hide from public distrust and contempt. When the Big Book appeared in 1939, we called it Alcoholics Anonymous. Its foreword made this revealing statement: it is important that we remain anonymous because we are too few at present to handle the overwhelming number of personal appeals which may result from this publication. Being mostly business or professional folk, we could not well carry on our occupations in such an event. Between these lines, it is easy to read our fear that large numbers of incoming people might break our anonymity wide open. As the AA groups multiplied, so did anonymity problems. Enthusiastic over spectacular recovery of a brother alcoholic, we'd sometimes discuss those intimate and harrowing aspects of his case meant for his sponsor's ears alone. The aggrieved victim would then rightly declare that his trust had been broken. When such stories got into circulation outside of AA, the loss of confidence in our anonymity promise was severe. It frequently turned people away from us. Clearly, every AA member's name and story, too, had to be confidential if he wished. This was our first lesson in the practical application of anonymity. With characteristic intemperance, however, some of our newcomers cared not at all for this secrecy. They wanted to shout AA from the housetops, and did. Alcoholics barely dry rushed about, bright-eyed, buttonholing anyone who would listen to their stories. Others hurried to place themselves before microphones and cameras. Sometimes they got distressingly drunk and let their groups down with a bang. They had changed from AA members to AA show-offs. This phenomenon of contrast really set us thinking. Squarely before us was the question, how anonymous should an AA member be? Our growth made it plain that we couldn't be a secret society, but it was equally plain that we couldn't be a vaudeville circuit either. With the charting of a safe path between these extremes took a long time. As a rule, the average newcomer wanted family to know immediately what he was trying to do. I know I did. He also wanted to tell others who had tried to help him, his doctor, minister, and close friends. As he gained confidence, he felt it right to explain his new way of life to his employer and business associates. When opportunities to be helpful came along, he found he could talk easily about AA to almost anyone. These quiet disclosures helped him to lose his fear of the alcoholic stigma and spread the news of AA's existence in his community. Many a new man and woman came to AA because of such conversations. Though not in the strict letter of anonymity, such communications were well within its spirit. But it became apparent that the word of mouth method was too limited. Our work as such needed to be publicized. The AA groups would have to reach quickly as many despairing alcoholics as they could. Consequently, many groups began to hold meetings, which were open to interested friends and the public, so that the average citizen could see for himself what AA was all about. The response to these meetings was warmly sympathetic. Soon groups began to receive requests for AA speakers to appear before civic organizations, church groups, and medical societies. Provided anonymity was maintained on these platforms, the reporters present were cautioned against the use of names or pictures. The result was fine. Then came our first few excursions into major publicity, which were breathtaking. Cleveland's Plain Dealer articles about us ran that town's membership from a few into hundreds overnight. The news stories of Mr. Rockefeller's dinner for Alcoholics Anonymous helped double our total membership in a year's time. Jack Alexander's famous Saturday Evening Post piece made AA a national institution. Such tributes as these brought opportunities for still more recognition. Other newspapers and magazines wanted AA stories. Film companies wanted to photograph us. Radio and finally television besieged us with requests for appearances. What should we do? As this tide offering top public approval swept in, we realized that it could do us incalculable good or great harm. Everything would depend on how it was channeled. We simply couldn't afford to take the chance of letting self-appointed members present themselves as messiahs representing AA before the whole public. The promoter instinct in us might be our undoing. If even one publicly got drunk or was lured into using AA's name for his own purpose, the damage might be irreparable. At this altitude, press, radio, films, and television, anonymity, 100% anonymity, was the only possible answer. Here, principles would have to come before personalities without exception. These experiences taught us that anonymity is real humility at work. It is an all-pervading spiritual quality that today keynotes AA life everywhere. Moved by the spirit of anonymity, we try to give up our natural desires for personal distinction as AA members, both among our fellow alcoholics and before the general public. As we lay aside these very human aspirations, we believe that each of us takes part in the weaving of a protective mantle which covers our whole society and under which we may grow and work in unity. We are sure that humility expressed by anonymity is the greatest safeguard that Alcoholics Anonymous can ever have. So in that, I did share, when I first came into the rooms as a blackout drinker, not remembering most of what I'd done, but my family knew. And I immediately, 3 days in, it was at my brother's wedding and everybody was drinking, I told them that I, on the dance floor, privately in their ear, each member that I had gone to Alcoholics Anonymous, each member hugged me and said, thank you. They were grateful. They were also afraid because they were, 3 of the 4 were alcoholics. So they were a little bit, I don't want this. I also told the people that I drank with who were continuing to urge me to continue to drink. And I said, no, I'm going to Alcoholics Anonymous, which they went, oh, stayed away from me until they needed me. And I had a friend who I drank with 2 years into my sobriety say, called me at a late hour and said, are you still doing that AA thing? And I said, yes, I am. And I met her in a meeting at midnight. Where it helped and where there could be benefit to somebody who needs us, that's where I share this. I did not share it at work unless it was helpful to somebody who was going through something. And I told them at the time that I'm sharing this with you. It's not for general publication. I'm not a big poster online, so don't go online and tell a lot of people anything, really. But, you know, Dr. Yun and Dr. Silkworth both said, you know, that in order for us to keep and maintain our sobriety, that we have to have a spiritual component. And that's the same with our groups. That's the same with Alcoholics as a Fellowship. We really need to hold on to that and just keep our humility through this. I was a pink cloud gal when I first came in, and finally I could remember what I was doing on a day and was amazed by it and all these people and the laughter and the smiles and the joy that you all had. And, you know, I wanted everybody to be part of this. And yet I understood and was told first out of the gate, you know, you can share anything you want in these rooms and it will be safe for you. Out there, we can't guarantee that. And so you need to be careful on what you do. And if you do that outside, what could then come in here? So what Kelly said, you know, what is your purpose of breaking your anonymity? And keep that in the forefront of your mind. Because unless it's to help another alcoholic, which is our primary purpose, right? There's no benefit there to the group and to AA as a whole. And it literally has saved my life. My last drunk was trying to commit suicide in front of everybody I worked with and not remembering any of it until the next day. Living in LA when I got sober and working with a lot, I worked in Hollywood and I dealt with a lot of people in the industry, in the entertainment industry, and sponsored people in the, I'm going to stop in a second, sponsored people that wanted to, you know, well, why can't I? And I should be able to, because the ego was too big. And we needed to bring that down and say, wait, what's the purpose? How can this help another alcoholic? And where, if you go out and you drink, you let everybody down. And today we don't want to let people down. We want to encourage them. We want to be a safe place. And we want to be a place where people are eager to come. I know when I first came in, not eager, really glad I'm here today. So thank you for letting me participate in this workshop.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.